Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Scaredy Chat. Yes, this is the Scaredy Chat podcast where we talk all about childhood fears and things that are still scaring us today. I'm Monica Suriagi.
And I'm Caitlin Riley.
And today, later on, we are going to be chatting with actress, writer, comedian, YouTuber, Maggie Mayfish. She is so funny and insightful and a very, I would say, intellectual infotainment YouTuber type way. So I'm excited to talk to her because I think her fears are going to be very relatable. But before that, Caitlin, we talk about our childhood fears all the time, even when we don't have to, even when we're not on the podcast. We just love to talk about childhood fears. But I am curious, do you have any new fears?
I'm basically afraid of any boat that, like, the tip of the boat tips up. Does that make sense?
Like, Totally.
Like, if you ever watch Baywatch or any movie where they're like, there's a chase on the water, when the boat tips up and the engine is like in the water and they're racing, I'm just afraid. I'm like, this boat is going to flip over. Like, how doesn't it? I don't understand the physics of it. I can't figure out how it's mathematically still staying in the water. So that's always really freaked me out. But historically, I will say, my grandfather, when he was a little boy, this is a very crazy story. He was
taking it back.
Yes. So I have some, maybe I have some like passed down trauma from like DNA or whatever. But when he was a little boy, he was on a boat like that with like an engine in the back and everything. And there was a gas leak and the boat exploded. Yeah. And he was in a full body cast for like a year, like a full year. Is that not crazy?
What?
Yes. So I don't know. I have this theory that like it's not specifically being on the water. Being on the water doesn't scare me. And I've been on like banana boats before where you're just sort of like being pulled. And I can be on the banana boat, but I can't be on the boat pulling the banana boat. And I think there's something in my brain where I'm like, I don't know if it's just hearing the story about the boat explosion. I'm just like, there's something about being on these boats with engines like this that just really makes me feel super unsafe. I feel like I'm going to either get thrown from the boat, which my grandfather was. That's why he was in the full body cast, by the way. He literally just was thrown from the boat as it exploded. He's fine.
Well, I'm glad he survived.
It's kind of crazy to think about because had he not survived, I would not be here.
You wouldn't exist.
Yeah. And I'm convinced that that's why I'm so afraid to see if there's any strange family connections between the fears that you have and the fears of your grandfathers.
Ooh, I love that. If you have like a somewhat maybe seemingly irrational fear, yeah, check the family history.
Yeah. Though also, boats are scary.
Yeah, also just boat propellers are kind of terrifying.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Okay, Scaredy Chat listeners, today we have my lovely friend, Maggie Mayfish. She is a comedian, YouTuber, writer, actress. She's very good at all of these things. She is hilarious. I know you already follow her on Twitter. You already know who I'm talking about. Everybody, Maggie.
Hello. We were just saying off mic. What a great way to end the day, you know?
Yes.
Together, chatting.
About our fears.
I know. Oh, when you emailed me, it immediately came to mind exactly the fear that I wanted to talk about. So that just says something, Monica, about how great the premise of this podcast is.
Oh, thank you. And also that your fear is like right at the front of your brain. Like, I know what I'm afraid of.
So Maggie, what is this fear that you cannot stop thinking about?
Okay. The reason I can't stop thinking about it is because I feel like it's very common. But I'm also embarrassed about it because it's seemingly very juvenile and it's just like the fear of the dark. Which I still like am today, apprehensive about it. I feel like I've done a lot of internal work to, you know, be able to like walk down a dark tunnel. But yeah, throughout most of my life, and especially when I was a kid, I was like deathly afraid of the dark.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's like a classic, but it is crippling. And I feel like so many people are, I was so also with you, so afraid of the dark to the point where I couldn't function as a person at night. And I'm still scared of the dark.
Yes. So, and like, I understand it's a universal, like the unknown, you know, like I've heard so many people say that. And like intellectually, I understand that's what the fear is. But just like in my bones, it's so like carnal that I can't deny.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely not alone. I mean, they literally named the show, Are You Afraid of the Dark? So I feel like that says everything you need to know. Do you have like a very specific memory? Was there any time where you were like, oh my God, this is my fear. I'm afraid of the dark and now I have to face it. Like, was there any specific moment for you?
I don't remember facing it. I remember acceptance. I remember being, I was probably four. I was very young. And I remember crying and like calling my dad into my bedroom, who was clearly exhausted. Like, I remember his tone to this day was, yes, like just tired. And I remember being like, I'm just afraid. And my dad just being like, why though? Just like a very desperate adult, you know, like an exhausted dad. And I remember being like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why I'm afraid of the dark. And I couldn't tell him like why I felt that way. But it did help me gain perspective. I was like, okay, my dad clearly doesn't think that this is such a big of a deal. So, you know, I'm not gonna call him in anymore to tell him I'm afraid. So I, from that point on, I just kind of accepted like, okay, this is my fear. I am just afraid of the dark. I used a nightlight after this. I would crack my door open as well. So there were workarounds, I don't think I ever really faced it. I think I mostly, added more lights to my room.
I was the same way. I was just like, okay, how can I have the most light in here? And right. I think I like hit a point, maybe in high school, where I was like, I can't sleep because the light is on, but I need the light to be on.
That's what sleep like, masks are for.
I need this. Yes. Yeah.
That's my thing now. I remember when I was a kid, I wouldn't say I was afraid of the dark, but I did surround myself with like stuffed animals to like ward off nightmares. Did you ever have anything like that? Was it ever like, oh, I have this specific like stuffed animal or like this like blanket or anything like that, that kind of like kept you safe from whatever it was in the dark?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I had the accoutrements, you know, I had this like holy blanket that, you know, I would wear as a robe because there was just like gaping holes in it from overuse. I had it, and I still have a stuffed animal. It's a bunny with really long ears. So when I couldn't sleep at night, I would like do hairstyles with her ears. Like, there was a couple things like that. Oh, I did sleep on the edge of my bed because I was also afraid that I wouldn't be able to see if something was going to like come up over it. So I would sleep right at the edge. And I felt very brave for that because that felt like me confronting at least something I was afraid of. You know, if something was going to sneak over the bed, I'd rather, you know, be there head on. so that was comforting. It did give me a kink in my neck that I still have to this day because I slept that way for so many years of my life.
But nothing ever got you because you were prepared.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Uh-huh. I was being brave, ladies. So
it's so funny because I wonder what we really thought would happen. You know, like, I don't know if consciously, like, I've had those moments too where I was like, oh, if I do this and I do this, then I'll be safe. But I don't know if what I really thought was going to happen. Like, did I really believe there was a monster there? I don't think so. I don't know. Did you ever check like under your bed? Did you have a bed that you could check under? I gratefully like did not for most of my life. So,
oh really? Was it like on the ground? Like on the ground type
or
bed?
Or had like drawers underneath? I think that's what it was. There was like, so I guess stuff could have been in the drawers.
Stuff could have been in those drawers.
That would have been terrifying. Yeah. No, that'd be like so much more scary because that was very unexpected. But did you like check behind things? Like if you had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, did you check behind the shower curtain or did you avoid doing that at all costs?
I think I was an anti-checker. Yeah, I think very, very early on, I dealt with, confrontation anxiety, or, you know, where it's like the thing that you know you should be doing, avoidance. Like, oh, you know, if there's a monster in the shower, in some ways, like, I was brave, I guess, looking over the side of my bed. Yeah, but like showers, no. I would not check my closet. I was terrified the girl from The Ring was going to be in my closet after seeing that movie. Terrified.
She is one of our favorite characters on this podcast.
Is she? Did she like a big fear for many people? Because I feel like that. Okay.
Like every single person that has been on this podcast.
She got literally all of us.
Like every single person, including us, including me and Monica, mm-hmm. I think talk about her in the first episode, but like every single person, probably even episodes, things get cut out. Mm-hmm. She comes out. Everyone's afraid. So you're so not alone.
Universal. Okay. That's the thing. It's like all these fears, they are very common. So we are never alone, even though being afraid, you are afraid because you are alone. Like that's part of the afraid part is like, I'm in the dark, but I'm alone in the dark. You know, I think that's kind of part of it as well. It's very like stripping, you know, you're alone by yourself, you know, very vulnerable situation.
Right. It's like, maybe if there was at least one other human being here, I wouldn't be as scared as I am right now.
Right. I had a best neighbor friend who's still one of my best friends to this day. And we would spend the night in each other's beds, like almost every other day. Cause it's good to have someone else there. Again, in case there was a monster.
You never know. I'm very curious of like my fear of the dark mm-hmm. would occasionally be detrimental to my actual everyday life from like lack of sleep or being afraid to go into a certain area or place. So I'd love to know if it ever affected your daily life.
Like, I'm sure it has. The thing that mostly I think of to that effect is I would like ruminate on my fear. And like, I had this vivid imagination that I would just like feed. I was like, oh, it could be any kind of, you know, it could be anything out there. Or like, you know, and I would just go down all these rabbit holes that like now as an adult, like, you know, we have a lot more like coping mechanisms that we can use to not, you know, to feed our anxieties in that manner. So yeah, but when you're a kid, like that's all you can do, you know, and it's like you have all the time in the world. Like when you're alone in bed, that's one of the only times you have alone as a kid because you're always being watched or supervised or, you know, it's the time that you have to yourself. So, yeah. Yeah.
Just spiraling away. Literally anything mm-hmm. could be coming to kill me right now.
Right. And death. What is that? You know, just.
This is a new game that we're still testing. We're trying to figure out how to make it make sense.
I love being a test subject.
Yay.
Okay. I'm a good participant. Yes.
It's called Who's That Boo? Mm-hmm. And basically, there are so many actors that we don't realize got their start in horror movies, right? Because mm-hmm. it is, you know, in theory, one of the cheapest genres to make. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play a guessing game where we'll give you just a few hints and you will try to guess who this actor is from that began in a horror movie.
And we gave you one clue. It's a boy. It's a boy actor man. So
okay. Actor man boy. Got it.
Amazing. Monica, you go first. I'll do the next clue.
Okay. First clue about our actor. He has won an Oscar.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so did you get it already? No? Okay, we'll move on to the next clue.
I've narrowed it down to two, actually.
Wait, so. Really? Honestly, I did think that maybe this was a little bit obvious because there's only so many Oscar winners, but right. The second clue... He was on a television show. So he won an Oscar and he was on a television show. He is a double threat as far as we know.
Okay, I'm forming an idea.
Yes. You're free to guess at any time.
Okay. I think I'm going to wait for another to stab at it.
Ooh, okay. Well.
Wow, nice horror pun.
That was on purpose, ever for everyone hearing and listening. On purpose pun.
On purpose horror puns. Mm-hmm. Last one. Mm-hmm. He's done pretty much every genre. He's across the map. but did start in a horror franchise.
All right. Is it George Clooney?
No. But I get why you would say that. Okay, we'll give you how many? We had two more guesses. I feel like three clues, three guesses. So.
I don't know. We don't even know what the rules are yet. But
we don't have rules. It's a ruleless game.
You can also ask us questions.
Yeah, you can ask yes or no questions. Like, you can't be like, who is it?
Is he considered conventionally attractive?
Yeah. I would say
so. For yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay. What was, like, one of his big years? Do you know?
No, but I feel like we have to keep it to yes or no questions, Maggie.
That's true.
I was going to tell you, but I was, like, trying to think of what one would be.
Mostly just because then I'd have to Google that, and that would be really hard.
This is true.
So just yes or no for ease, honestly.
Jared Leto?
Oh, no, but also good guess.
Right? Probably, though.
I felt like he was in an early horror movie.
He'll be our thing for next time, because I think he is in something.
He's a horror.
He's just a horror of a person.
My friend sent me today just a picture of him in House of Gucci, and she's like, why is he always so weird? I sent her that, and then she sent me a picture of him just in life. I was like, why is he like this?
There's a very small portion of actors who are actors because they don't want to be themselves.
Yeah.
Burns.
That's a whole other box of shit to unpack right there.
Oh, yeah. We could do a whole other podcast about those actors. Please cut this out, Fitz, because we would love Jared on our podcast.
No, keep it.
He's fun.
Okay. Dang. Okay. Did he win his Oscar within the past 5 years?
I think the answer is no, but I'm going to give you the hint of it's just outside of 5 years.
Okay.
So relatively recent.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. I'd say between 5 and 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Definitely like 8 would be my math. Guess.
We'd have to Google this. We're not gonna. So whole thing. I feel like you're gonna get it, but you're so close. Like, I
really
feel it.
You're so close.
Is it Jonah Hill?
No. But you are circling him. You are so right around the ballpark.
Oh, no. Yes. James Franco?
No. That's a circle also. That's pretty close, right? Is he? Yeah. Jonah Hill was closer, if that helps.
I know. It was.
Yeah, that was closer, but it's okay. You're so close.
Was it Leonardo DiCaprio?
No. But also, probably.
I'm doing so poorly.
I feel like all the people you have mentioned plus the person, they're all friends. Mm-hmm. They all know each other. They all hang out.
Yes. He's in this group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll say it's not Seth Rogen, if that helps.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not Seth Rogen.
Dang. Is it Tobey Maguire?
No, but probably. That's the thing. It's like, all these people have good work. Yeah, not just who we specifically thought of.
If you need another hint, we can give you another hint.
I'll take another hint.
Okay, let me think of a hint.
It's going to be everyone's going to laugh. I feel it coming.
No. This is a hard one because we had to Google it too.
So. Yes, we also had to look it up. Okay, a hint the bottom won't just fall out with like a very obvious hint. He was doing mostly comedies for a while.
Okay, comedic turns. Mm-hmm,
Mackie, are you Googling this?
No. No.
I just saw it typing not. And then a glow of a scream.
I love it.
Listen.
I love it.
Wouldn't lie to either of you.
She does what she has to do. I love it.
I can give you one more very easy clue that I hope is easy. His name is an alliteration.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Is it an alliteration?
Yeah. So it's like both of his names serve the same letter. It's okay. This is hard because it's like literally every actor basically that has been an actor.
You said every other person around this person.
You circled him.
You circled him.
Matthew McConaughey. Massacre.
Oh, yes. Amazing. Yes. Amazing. I'm so proud of you. That's great. Okay, cool. That was successful.
I really felt a moment of teamwork there. I could not have arrived there. But very oddly, this like recently came up like last week. So
really
should have been there.
Oh, yes. Wait. Tell us that story. That's so funny.
Yeah, my partner and I were, we were watching, we've been doing like 70s horror movie binges. And lo and behold, there's our boy, Matthew McConaughey. Oh, and because of, he's recently running for president. So I think that we were like.
Oh, right.
Wait, that, what?
Yes. What? Yes. Oh, Monica, you got to do this video. I will send it to you.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. He released a video that was basically like, if he became one of the Texas Chainsaw, you know, family members.
Oh, killer.
Full circle.
Amazing.
Wow. You guys really got me there. That was, you guys felt like really good on TV hosts.
Yeah. You did great. Honestly, that was very impressive. Because
that was
really,
a hard one. Yeah, there are easier people for sure. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so just for our audience, just so we know. So yes, he was not in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He was in something called Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation, much like Degrassi, The Next Generation, but this one had more chainsaw murders.
But with more chainsaws.
A few.
And now more chainsaws.
Exactly. He's actually not the only famous person who like kind of got their start in it. Renee Zellweger is also in it. Came out in 1995. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's the villain, which I think is pretty fun. Yeah. Amazing. Good for him.
Good for you, Matthew McConaughey. You've come so far. Well, Maggie, we've got another game we would love to play with you.
Awesome.
This one, we have a little more dialed in. It's called Chill or Chilling.
Ooh.
And we run imaginary scenarios by you, and you can choose Chill would do that. Cool. Or Chilling, too scary, will not do that.
All right. This is fun. Okay.
Yes.
I thought you were going to do the Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right. Just now.
All right.
Nice. You can do it. Amazing. Monica, you want to go first?
Sure. Okay. So our first Chill or Chilling. Compete on Fear Factor.
Ooh, Chilling. Honestly, right out the gate. No, thank you. There's a lot of bugs I don't mind, but I do mind centipedes, and I feel like they always find a way to include them. So I just would never take the risk. I can't even watch that section of the show. Yeah. Also, it's high risk being near Joe Rogan.
I was just going to say, I was like, is he still hosting that?
I forgot he was the host of that show.
Yeah.
I totally forgot.
Yeah. He's not any. Is that show even still on? I actually don't know.
I don't think it is.
That seems like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah. I don't need his opinions, and I don't need him to make me eat bugs. But I will say, I was on vacation once, and I have never seen a giant centipede before, but I went on vacation, and I saw one, and it was like, literally like the size of a snake, and it was the most horrifying thing. I didn't think I was afraid of them. I totally get it. They're horrible. No thank you. Goodbye. Totally good choice. No centipedes.
No. Have you seen the short film that goes with the ring, Rings?
No.
He pukes a centipede. Like it crawls out of his mouth, and it's like 3 feet long, and it just like crawls out of his mouth.
That's that he cracked the worst horror thing to make. Like, that's it. That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Nope. Sorry, yeah. Did you not want two different centipede stories about how scary they were after you announced your fear to us?
I liked it. And thanks, guys.
Yeah, and I realized that we both were like, wait, hold on. You think you're afraid of centipedes? Here are two horrible stories about them. So we apologize.
No.
Okay, so this one is maybe less scary or more scary. I think it's more scary to me, but go skydiving. Skydiving. Ooh, your thoughts.
Chill. I think I would. I think I would. Yes, it is very scary. Like, I have no plans to do it. I have a good friend who he's like certified. He, you know, I wouldn't say he like pushes it on people, but there's been a couple times where he's been okay, you know, like, so when are you gonna do it? He loves it. And I am kind of a thrill junkie. I do love roller coasters. I've never done anything to that scale. But I did do the biggest drop in Florida outside of Disneyland. They have like an unofficial super scary drop, which I have done. And I think I would do it. I actually am curious. What do you guys think?
No.
Well, I have a
Caitlin's
hard no. I have a fun story about skydiving that has prevented me from doing it, even though I think maybe it'd be fun. But I have a metal brace around my spine, so I have some metal kind of rods in there and whatever. Mm-hmm. And the doctor, when I came in for like follow-ups after the surgery, he was like, "Well, you know, you can't go skydiving now because that metal will just rip right out of your body." And I was just like, "What?"
What? But the thing is, Monica told me that like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, for sure. Like, that's, and that only like kind of recently did we have the conversation where we were like, wait, that's not science.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he was kidding, yeah, I think.
Right, just rip out. I think he was kidding in some weird, awful doctor way. I think he was kidding. But I'm like, maybe I should wait till I'm like 90 years old so that if I die, it's not that big of a deal.
Right. Like, I had it coming. So it's like almost kind of cute, like how it went out.
Right. Like, yeah. So imagine.
She talked about it our whole lives and she tried it.
Yeah.
It's killed like
her,
your.
She had fun.
It's like your girl with the ribbon, like removing the ribbon, head falls off. Mm-hmm. That's your version of that. That's so disturbing. Yeah, please don't do it.
I'm so curious. I would do it, but what if he wasn't giving?
And you'd be, and that would happen to you. And then like, you'd have, you know, that'd be what your name would associate with. The girl whose metal spine was ripped out of her body
by the force of gravity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very Final Destination vibes.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, here's our next one. This is a very made up scenario. So have to use your imagination a little bit.
I love hypotheticals.
Yes. Do karaoke. Okay. Let me set the scene for you a little bit.
Okay.
We're at a karaoke bar. You know, you're having a good time. It's your turn to go up. You got your song picked out. You get on the stage. You look out, and in the first three centered seats, you're about to start singing. Is Lizzo, Cher, and Adele, and they're all just staring at you, and you have to perform your karaoke song. Chill or chilling?
Oh, chilling. Chilling. Absolutely chilling. Not that, like, I know I am not a good singer, and, you know, even in, like, there's a knowledge I have, even, like, with that and knowing that my goal in karaoke is to have fun, it's still absolutely chilling. I would just feel like I shouldn't be here, you know, like, this is suddenly a church and like I am about to be sacrilegious in front of people who like know what they're doing. And all three of them, I'm sure, would be very, very more than polite. I'm sure all three of them would be like cheering me on. But I that sounds like a nightmare. Yeah.
It really does sound like an actual nightmare somebody would have.
Yes. Yeah.
But you do get to hang out with them. And that's the one thing I will say is like, that's true.
And they would be encouraging. They would not care.
They would be nice.
Like, exactly. You know, they would not judge you. Unless, you know, prove me wrong. Like, but I don't think that.
They would be nice, I think.
Exactly.
In my fantasy where I created that scenario, they're nice people. Right. So
they'd be nice about it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So this one is, instead of hanging out with like three superstars, mm-hmm. it's ghosts. You hang out with ghosts. Mm-hmm. When you camp out in a graveyard, chill or chilling?
Ooh, I would say chill. I would say chill. My sister and I, one thing we would do when we travel, we try to take a ghost tour in any town that we go to. Not for any reason other than like they're really fun and, you know, just like we always have great memories. We took one in Chicago where we like talked to a ghost. They gave us those like tuning forks, you know, and like we were like, you know, had like a conversation, you know, which is really fun. But, you know, every single time it's always been chill. Like, you know, we've never had a bad time on a ghost tour. In fact, you meet great people. The tour guides always super nice and personal. They give the best suggestions, which is not the reason why we do them. But speaking from personal experience, every ghost that I've communicated with has been chill.
Yes, I love the ghost tours. I just did one in Jerome, which is like outside of Sedona. And it's like murder, 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 because it was like a coal mining town.
Yeah.
So it was just, the ghost tour was like, these kind of towns attract a lot of unsavory characters. And they were just, everyone was murdering each other. And like every block was like, this person murdered, 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 murdered. I was like, oh my God, everywhere.
That's kind of how it was in Paris. Like it wasn't a ghost tour, but it was like a dark side of Paris tour. And it was like everywhere you stepped, it was like some royal got like assassinated on this step. I love so ghost tours too. Like they're the best.
They're the best.
They're so fun.
Oh, they're fun. We just did one in New Orleans, and
that's the best one. Probably.
Oh, it's the best one. We felt so fortunate to do it. And also, the first murder she brought up, what happened in 2003. It was wait. We came here for history.
Yes,
that is too soon.
It's got to be like 1945 and back. Like
yes.
And but like to her credit, that was super scary. Like I've never been that scared on a ghost tour where the first murder happened fairly recently, and it was about, you know, tours coming to New Orleans and
yikes. This could be you.
This could be you.
You could be next on the ghost tour. You could be a star.
It was an amazing town. I absolutely loved
New Orleans. I guess you had a good tour guide because that's terrifying. Well, this is our last one, our last scenario.
Great.
Chill or chilling, swimming with sharks.
Oh, okay. So I grew up with a pool in my backyard, which was how I hooked a lot of friends in middle school. You know, you tell them you're a pool, they come over and swim. I would have these imaginations where there were sharks in the pool. And that was another one that I would just like imagine. It's like in my backyard. Yeah, there's like sharks swimming in the dark. Swimming in the dark was a fear of mine. I feel like I got over that fear because I love swimming so much. And later in life, I loved taking night swims. So I kind of made myself face it, all to the point where I think swimming with sharks would be like pretty chill.
You basically already did it in your mind.
Exactly. No, truly. Yeah. I think I went through all like the worst case scenarios. And also, you know, I love ocean life. So at the end of the day, I would want to be a good rep for our shark friend. Most shark attacks are, you know, not something vicious on their part. So if I get eaten, it's my fault. Basically.
You were very trusting of the sharks.
Right. He caught me slipping. What happened? Oops.
And in this scenario, there would be some kind of cage, I would think.
Right. Are you guys afraid of sharks? Because that is also like pretty common. Like my friend,
Are. I was super, 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 super afraid of sharks as a kid after seeing Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, yeah.
Again, they will come up through your pipes and get you, Monica, no matter what. Where you live.
No, that's alligators. Alligators will come up your pipe. Yeah.
And if you live in Florida, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that'll happen.
Right.
I wouldn't say I'm like afraid of sharks. I don't know. I mean, I guess I grew up kind of by the ocean. and I never had anybody like get attacked by a shark. And I felt like, you know, Long Island.
Oh, okay.
So in case you can't tell.
You're kind of in tune with that side of nature, you know. It's not mysterious for you.
Totally. I mean, we went to the beach a lot, and I feel like the issue was more like the riptide. I'm afraid of a riptide. That is actually a situation that is a problem. But I'm not really afraid of sharks. I'm sure somebody got bit by a shark, but it was not like a common occurrence. So we're good. Right.
Yeah. I grew up right on Lake Michigan. So it was like a big body of water that intellectually I knew had no sharks. So like it was a good safe haven for me to, you know, to be like, okay, open water does not necessarily equal will be eaten.
Right. That would be the plot of some movie is like, now this lake has sharks.
Right. How did it get in here? I'm sure I've seen that movie. I feel like, kind of like this pond, get a shark.
Right. That's actually a good, guys, we should write that film. That is not a movie.
That has to exist. That exists already.
Okay, but it'd be great if we met, like, it'd be better if we met it.
Yeah, you're right.
It would. Yeah.
You're
right. Like some, I can see it being like some evil scientist plops a giant shark in the middle of a lake and people can't leave.
Small town. Oh, yeah. That's great. The small town has to come together to defeat the giant shark.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they're all fighting over some weird, stupid small town drama.
Okay, guys, it's writing itself. All right, all right.
It writes itself. It writes itself. Sci-fi,
contact us. We know you got the weird CGI hookups.
We got your next shark.
They already
shark
have
movie.
The shark.
Yeah.
They have the shark ready to go. It's already built in like the CGI computer system.
Well, Maggie, thank you so much for chatting with us today and validating everyone's fear of the dark, because we are all afraid of the dark.
Good, good.
And please tell our listeners where they can find you, socials and stuff like that.
Yes. If you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Instagram, I mostly post photos of my cats. Speaking of cats, so if you like cats, you can follow me on Instagram as well. But yeah, it's just my name, Maggie Mae Fish. Mae with a E instead of a Y. Like my dead great-grandmother. Sorry, what?
Oh, I was going to say, and Fish with an F. Oh, just in case.
Yes. Yes, like the animal. Not the band. sorry if anyone likes. I didn't mean to say that with such like a stink. I know there are band fans.
There are people who really like Fish, but I don't think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure any of them are on this call right now.
Right, I was gonna say.
I feel like our audience might not be Fish fans. Not that they're not Fish fans, but I don't think there's a big overlap. I think you're okay.
Listen, I have a friend who's a Fish fan, so I can say it.
I know some Fish people, so I can say it. It's true though. It's true though.
Oh, Maggie, thank you so much for being here with us. This was so super fun. I hope that you feel better about your childhood fears because
I truly do. Thank you so much for having me. This has been great. I feel, we validated a lot of people today.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us here today on Scaredy Chat. We hope you were a little scared and maybe a little relieved about your fears. And if you're having fun listening to this podcast, please rate and review and subscribe so you never miss it and you're ready with us every week. And hey, make sure you follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram at scaredychat_podcast. And maybe you have a fear and you're wondering if other people are afraid of it too? Well, we probably are, but you should email us your fears at story@scaredychatpod.com and maybe we'll talk about it on the show. Till next time, Scaredy Cats. Bye! Scaredy Chat was developed and hosted by Caitlin Riley and Monica Moore-Suriyagi, produced by Jeff Swimmer, editing and sound design by Fitz Harris, theme music by Eric Fashingbauer with samples by Jeff Zahn and Jack Lenz, and Gail Gilman is the executive producer.